Please now take your scriptures and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be dealing this morning with the first 11 verses. 1 Let us listen carefully to the reading of God's word. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is cursed, or, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He gives them to each one just as He determines. May God bless this portion of His Scripture to our hearing. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for this Scripture and for its teaching. May we understand the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the lives of those who are members of your church. And may we see these things happening, and may we thus glorify and praise your name because of it. For our prayer is in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, look what I found. What do you think that's doing there? Huh? Yeah. You might be disappointed. Nobody have any idea what that is? It's a gift. Why is it there today? Because it's Father's Day. All right. Did you give a gift to your father? No. You are the gift to your father, right? Very good. We don't have to give gifts to our fathers, but, you know, some people do. One of my sons told me that he had sent two books to me. Late, of course, because he always sends things late, but they'll arrive while I'm gone, and hopefully we'll get them in the house. But it's a nice thing, isn't it, to give gifts to people on various occasions. But you know, it's nothing compared to the gift that God has given us. Yes. God has given to us gifts through the Holy Spirit. Now, these gifts we can touch and we can look at and use, but that's not true of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. These are gifts that are given to us so that they're inside of us, not something that's out and tangible. And because it's inside of us, it actually has a greater significance than any gift that we would give to our father or to our mother or brother or sister. And the Bible tells us in this passage very clearly that it is the Holy Spirit who gives these gifts, and that, secondly, when He gives these gifts are of various kinds, and they're given to everyone in the church. So we look at the beginning of this passage. It says, now, about spiritual, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. If you look in the original language, it doesn't say gifts. It says spiritual only. And it is in a gender such as it could be masculine and it could be neuter. So you could say that I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual people. Or you could say I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts or about spiritual things. Now, all of you, of course, have an interpretation in your Bible, and most everybody chooses gifts. You know why? Well, the reason is because you look down in verse 4, and it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And that's why they put gifts there. Personally, I think that it ought to be a little more general than that because of the progression of the discussion. I think it ought to be spiritual things. Things that are part of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about that. Now remember, he says, when you were pagans, you were led along to worship these idols. These idols that are mute, that don't speak, that don't say anything. Yes, that's what you were led along, directed along by what he doesn't say, your emotions or by friends or other things, to worship these idols. These idols that cannot live, they're dead. They cannot speak, they're mute. They are powerless to do anything. But you had this movement that you were led along to follow them. You recall that in the worship of these idols, they would often go to Delphi or one other of the other places, and they would go up there to hear the god speak to them, and they'd have an oracle. They'd have a lady that was sitting on a rock, and beside her was a hole in the rock, and underneath the rock they were having a little smoke come up. And that smoke had drugs in it, so that this little lady would be able to speak in ecstatic languages and things that nobody understood, but which somebody standing by would interpret as saying, well, this is what she's saying. And that was all part of worshiping these mute idols. But he says it's not that way with the Holy Spirit or in the Church of Jesus Christ. No, for the Holy Spirit now invades you. God's presence is in you. That God, presence of God in you, on the one hand, gives you life. On the other hand, the Holy Spirit is able to take the Word of God and make it so it's real to you and so that you can believe it. And that Holy Spirit works in you so that you now, by your whole being, make a proper confession. You cannot say by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is anathema, Jesus is cursed. You can't say that. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to say that. He will not direct you in that way. Oh, you used to be able to say that because these other idols, you see, they can have you say anything. But no. When you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, you can say, Jesus is Lord. You can say it from your heart. You can say it with meaning. You can say it with conviction that you are indeed under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So you see the difference that he is pointing out here between pagan ways and the way of the true and living God. Okay, then he goes on to talk about the work of the true and living God. And it's interesting, he doesn't talk just about the Holy Spirit at this point. He talks about the work of the triune God. Another thing that's interesting is that very often when we think about passages that deal with the triune God, we think of Matthew 28 or 1 Corinthians 13 or maybe Matthew 3, but we don't think very often about this one, do we? But surely this is one that powerfully bears witness to the apostolic teaching of the Trinity, because it takes now the Spirit and Jesus and God the Father and speaks of them in doing different things, but in a united fashion, that it's only one God who is doing this. Notice, he says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different gifts are given in the church, and we'll talk about those gifts in a minute. But there is only one Holy Spirit who gives these gifts. Furthermore, there are various services that are performed in the church, but it's only one Lord, Jesus. You see, we serve Him. He is our Lord. And we serve in Him each other. And those services take many different kinds of forms, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ who empowers us and enables us to give those services. And then he talks about workings, various workings, but effectual workings, you see. And those effectual workings in our lives and in the church are done by God Himself, God the Father. And He does them so that there are different kinds of work that show and give evidence to His being God and give evidence to His power. But it's the same God who works all of them in all. All of them. All of these workings are from one God. And that is the glorious good news of salvation, isn't it? And of the working of God in our lives. You know, sometimes we can think that, well, if only the church had a better preacher, somebody who could be a real orator with powerful words to speak, who had such a command of the English language that everybody would be drawn in. But it isn't that way normally in the church, is it? Oh, if only we had people with brilliance and talent in the church that could do all kinds of things in the church. If we only had people who were dedicated, fully dedicated, and spent their time and their energies for the church, well, the church would be great and the church would grow. If only. Oh, yes, we hear it again and again, don't we? If only this were true, if only that were true. If only we had a great, big, beautiful church building that would attract people and they'd come in to worship. But that's not what it's all about, is it? Not at all. It's what God does in the hearts and lives of people that is what's important. It's how God works. How Jesus Christ brings us out of our pride and makes us humble servants of His. It's how the Holy Spirit gives gifts to the church. That's what's important. That's where the church is. And God takes those vessels that are weak. He takes us with all of our foibles and all of our weaknesses and the sins that habitually hang to us. And He works in us and through us for that end, to carry out His purposes. And that's so important. It doesn't matter whether the church is large or the church is small. It doesn't matter whether it's full of people with PhDs or has no PhDs. It doesn't matter whether we can speak perfect English or whether we have flaws in our speech and we're just ordinary people. It doesn't matter. What matters is that God Himself carries out His working in us. And where that takes place is where the church is. And where that takes place is where the church draws in those who do not know the Lord. And where there is a working of God in such a powerful way. Let's make sure, shall we, that we understand this correctly. And so here, What's important is that the Holy Spirit is the one who gives gifts to the church. And so he goes on in verse 7 to talk about that. But notice, first of all, in verses 4 through 6, there are different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of workings, but only one God. That God doesn't give a planned gift here and that is the same for everybody. It didn't work that way. That God is the same, and God is one, and he gives these gifts to everyone. The same God works all of them in all. And probably yours says all men. The word in the Greek is just all. And you have to then figure out what it refers to. That happens, you know, quite often in the scriptures. You know, Christ died for all. What does it mean? What's the all modified? Does it mean all men here indiscriminately? Does the Holy Spirit give gifts to everybody in the world? So that these gifts then are some kind of talent that they have? Is that what it's talking about? No, of course not. It's talking about the church, isn't it? It's talking about those in whom God works powerfully to make them part of his family. Those who have been converted in Jesus Christ and those who then seek to serve him. That's what he's talking about. And so to all members of the church. Ah, but that's important, isn't it? It doesn't mean that the gifts are only given to those who preach or to those who are elders or those who are deacons. It doesn't mean that it's given only to those who are in their middle age, whatever that is. It means that the old have gifts, the young have gifts. It means that males have gifts, it means that females have gifts. That the Holy Spirit gives these gifts to everybody in the church. Everyone who is here, who is a believer in Jesus Christ, indeed has a gift from the Holy Spirit. And what's the purpose of these gifts? He says in verse 7, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good. These gifts are not given so that you can somehow or other feel good about yourself. Oh, look what I can do. Such things promote pride, don't they? As Paul said back in the 8th chapter, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Everything that we have been given by the Holy Spirit, every gift that we've been given, is for the purpose of sharing, of helping, of being involved in each other's lives. That's so important in the Church of Jesus Christ. We're not set here to be people isolated by ourselves. And to feel good because, well, I can do this or I can do that. No. You know, that's one of the problems that you have with a very, very large church where you don't know anybody. You can walk in on a Sunday morning, you can say hi to the greeters, you can sit down, and maybe somebody will say hello to you because you've met them before, or they may think you're a visitor and you've been there for 2 years. But, you know, you get lost. Is that a church? Not really. But there are some people who like to get lost. They want to be served. They want to be taught from the scriptures. And yes, that's very good. They want a place to send their children. They want somebody to do this for them and somebody to do that for them. And so they feel good about it. Because such a large church can offer so many different things to so many different people. But that's not the church. The church is where the members of the church, with the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to them, take these gifts and share together, minister together, build one another up, help one another in distress and in need. There's the church. It's for the common good that the Spirit gives these gifts. And then he starts talking about what these gifts are. In verse 8, he talks first of all about gifts of instruction. 2, wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is that which you have which helps you to live a more productive and practical and correct life. Well, knowledge is that which gives you an understanding of God's ways and the carrying out of those ways. And he says, these are gifts that are given to the church. Then he talks about supernatural powers, faith. This isn't faith to believe in Jesus Christ. This is the exercise of faith where you can move mountains. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Talks about healing powers. As we know, there were many healings that took place in the apostolic church and things that people could do. They had these gifts, these healing gifts. And then the third section of gifts that he talks about are gifts in connection with revelation. Prophecy, which is receiving revelation from God and communicating it to men. Discerning spirits, being able to distinguish between those spirits which are of God and those which are of Satan, and knowing how to distinguish them is important. And then at the very last, he has tongues and the interpretation of tongues, the ability to speak a foreign language instantaneously without all that study that most of us have to do, and the interpretation of that language to others. Now you notice, on the top of the list is the communication of the wisdom and knowledge of God. On the bottom of the list are tongues and interpretation of tongues. Again, apparently, in Corinth, they were very, very interested in the ecstatic, the being able to say these words and perhaps someone interpret these words. That gave them a special thrill. It's something that is also pervaded in a number of churches in our generation, that somehow or other that's supposed to be really special if you can do that. Well, Paul is showing that it isn't. It's at the bottom of the list. That what is important, as he will tell us further on in this section, is the communication of the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what's important. And in any case, all of these gifts are given by the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, are all of these gifts supposed to be in the continuing church? No, these are gifts specific to Corinth. These are things that they were dealing with in Corinth. And you have to, you remember, make a distinction between those gifts which continue on in the church and those which are basically for that era. Anything having to do with the miraculous is for that era. Anything having to do with direct revelation from God is for that era. As Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:12, the signs of an apostle. And then he lists these things. The signs of the apostolic order which do not continue. And none of the lists that you find in the Bible of gifts are exhaustive. They're partial. They're gifts that were being dealt with in that particular church, in that particular situation. So it is that we have to, of course, as we look at these, distinguish between those which are temporary for the apostolic era and those which continue on in the church. And as we'll see in the list that we have, the most important thing is the communication of God's truth, to which the Holy Spirit bears witness and by which he then speaks of Christ to us and enables us to commit our lives to Christ. That's the most important. Well, if you look in Romans, for instance, if you want to see some of the different gifts that were given there, we find these listed. We read in chapter 12 of Romans and verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. And then he lists prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, leadership, and showing mercy. And again, in Ephesians chapter 4, he's talking about gifts there. And it talks about Christ giving the gifts. Of course, he gives them through the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 of Ephesians 4, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Now again, you see, the emphasis in Ephesians is on the leadership of the church. Again, the communication of the truth of God's word. And those in Romans were things that they were dealing with in Romans. And so it is, you see, there is no exhaustive list. It's a variety of gifts that the church receives from the work of the Holy Spirit. And every one of us has a gift, at least one. Everyone sitting here. Just think about the disciples of Jesus and the variety of gifts there. You have Peter, for instance. Peter who could preach up a storm. Peter who was a leader, even to a fault at times when he put himself in a place where he ought not to have been. And Jesus had to say to him, "Get you behind me, Satan." Yes, even then. But he was a leader. He had that gift. James, on the other hand, was a very practical kind of a person. He gave us directions in Christian living. He showed us that we should be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen. That's the kind of advice that James, of course, gave to us. That was his gift. His gift was also praying. They said he had knees that looked like camel's knees. I don't know. I've never seen camel's knees, but that's what they say. He had knees like camel's knees because he was down on his knees so much praying. And there was John, who was the deep thinker. John, who then in the depth of his thinking placed forth the simple gospel that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. There was Matthew, who was the businessman, and there was Paul, who was the theologian. You see, all different kinds of gifts. And when God calls us out to be a people unto him, whether we are large or whether we are small, he gives to us gifts. Every church has its gifts. And he sees to it that the gifts that we need at that particular time are in the church. And it will change as the church changes. But the important thing to remember is this. Verse 11. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Therefore, we cannot go around and say, well, this church is deficient here, this church is deficient there. Sure, there are deficiencies that we ought to be aware of, and certainly we ought to be trying to fulfill those deficiencies and work with them. And we don't always do things exactly as we ought. We ought to be encouraging each other to do more. But behind it all, we have to remember that it's God who provides the gifts, that it is he who by the Holy Spirit develops them in us, and that it is he who grows his church by means of those gifts. Have you figured out yet what's your gift? Have you? Are you using it for the good of others? Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you provide for us these gifts. Thank you that you give them to us so that we can be useful in your kingdom. We can never say that we're no good, that we don't have anything to contribute, that we're just kind of a bump on a pew. No, Lord, you have given us gifts to use. And you give us opportunity to use them. And we pray, Lord, that we in this church may be ready to know our gifts and to use them for the well-being of others and to glorify you in doing so, to recognize that they are gifts that you alone give. Bless, therefore, O Lord, these gifts among us, and may we grow and may we be the true church because of what you are doing among us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.